one that has 5 chronic conditions. They see 9 different doctors in a given year. They only spend 15 hours in a given year in front of their doctor. So the question I always ask is, what happens to the other 8,745 hours? That's really where wellness takes place. So when we look at virtual care, we look at telehealth. It has its place, has its value. And then there's remote patient monitoring and then chronic care management. So it's the full continuum that really needs to be embraced if that home is going to be becoming a setting of care. How does this unified virtual care collaborative platform support what you're doing? Those are some of the key questions that I would be asking if I were a health system.
Welcome to the Healthcare Leadership Experience, a place where healthcare leaders will share proven strategies and innovative approaches to leading the clinical and business side of healthcare. This show is sponsored by Vi Healthcare Consulting, who has proudly helped hospitals save over $700 million in non-labor costs since 1999. Here's your host, Lisa Miller, founder and CEO of Vi Healthcare.
Hi, this is Lisa Miller, and I'm the host of the Healthcare Leadership Experience. Welcome to today's show. We have special guest Tom Foley, who's the Chief Growth Officer at GenieMD. He's also the host of the Virtual Shift Reimagining the Delivery of Care. His expertise is virtual care. So we're going to have a great conversation today about telehealth, telemedicine, remote care monitoring, and the ways hospitals and other providers can infuse telehealth and virtual care to help patients on their journey to wellness. So let's get started. Welcome, Tom Foley. I am so excited to have you on the Healthcare Leadership Experience.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the invite.
You're doing some great work on the telehealth and telemedicine part of healthcare. And I'm just going to jump right in and have a discussion. I had the opportunity to be on your podcast. So everybody, I think you have to also listen to Tom's podcast. He'll provide you with that information at the end of the show. But I really enjoyed that. So this is really part two. So I just want to lead with the fact that you do a lot of talking and presenting about telehealth, and you have a macro trends slide that you speak from. So I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes and really just want to get your feedback, Tom. You talk about 382 million people globally have chronic diseases. And I really want to get to what's going on here in the US and what really is the issue here. And then want to hear how you think we can tackle this with telehealth. And it's diabetes. I mean, diabetes is the number one most expensive chronic condition in the US. So I'd love to get your feedback on that.
Yeah. So I look at you mentioned the macro trends. It doesn't matter what geography you're from. The macro trends are all consistent. So we have a growing population. No one would doubt that. We are aging, 65 and older, that population is growing more and more, longer life. And to your point, and they're developing more and more chronic conditions as they get older. And the problem with that is we have less physicians and nurses available to take care of that growing older age or sicker population. As far as the US is concerned, 6 out of 10 adults have one or more chronic conditions. And so the question is not whether or not we should monitor them. The question is, how do we get them better? And there's a huge distinction there. So I always talk about those patients with 2 or more chronic conditions. I always use the example of one that has 5 chronic conditions. They see 9 different doctors in a given year. This is all through CDC data. They see 9 different doctors in a given year. They only spend 15 hours in a given year in front of their doctor. So the question I always ask is, what happens to the other 8,745 hours? That's really where wellness takes place. Care takes place when you're in front of the doctor. Wellness takes place because I decided as the consumer, as a patient, that I've obviously become aware through talking with my doctor what the state of my health is and what am I going to do differently. And it's at home that makes the most difference. I, unfortunately had the need to take care of many loved ones. One was my father who had diabetes. And, diabetes doesn't hurt until the end stages. The point there is my father was obese, had diabetes, had kidney failure. So he was doing a lot of stuff at home. The bottom line is that in the last 5 years, because he didn't pay attention to his diet, he drank Coke, a Diet Coke, but that was about it. But, you know, it didn't help anything. But the last 5 years, he had one leg amputated, then the second leg amputated, then an arm amputated, and then two fingers on the other hand amputated. So care in the home and watching the dining room become a bedroom and having to add a bathroom, a full bath downstairs, I know all too well what that scenario is. And if you don't have loved ones that are embraced in making sure that you're taken care of, it becomes even harder for that elderly person. So it's a very challenging scenario. And I've been saying as of late, just because you get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes doesn't mean you have to die with it. There's many things that we can do when you have a chronic condition that could turn you north in the context of on that awareness to wellness continuum.
Can I talk about that awareness to wellness, which you talk about, and we're going to get to that in a minute. When I was doing research today, I was reading really about how the rural health providers addresses diabetes, because I feel like they've had no choice but to really utilize telehealth. And really pre-COVID, they were really more on the forefront or allowed to use telehealth and telemedicine. So it was interesting. There's three aspects. It's, of course, it's diabetes, self-management, it's medication adherence, and it's specialty care consultation. So in the context of that, I love this idea of infusing education. And part of their methodology is education, right? It's helping patients, giving them the information they need as well, whether it's phone apps, you use a text message for medication reminders, phone apps for management, for education. But there's so much we can do with telehealth and telemedicine that can get that patient well again. And really, this is your expertise. Tommy, you're the Chief Revenue Officer at GenieMD, and you see a lot of this. You're very innovative in your company and how you address these issues. Can you talk a little bit about those aspects of how you would infuse telehealth into a chronic condition like diabetes?
Yeah, actually, I'm just going to step back one real quick second. We often refer to it as virtual care because telehealth has this, especially since COVID, has this connotation that it's a video visit, right? Mm. It's a very narrow window of what telehealth does, right? So, you know, the video conferencing organizations such as Zoom and Microsoft Teams and things of that nature, folks might think that of themselves, even Facebook and FaceTime, think of them as a telehealth platform. They are not in the context of the larger view of how do we engage a patient in their home, and that home being a setting of care. So when we look at virtual care, we look at certainly telehealth. It has its place, has its value. And then there's remote patient monitoring and then chronic care management. So it's the full continuum that really needs to be embraced if that home is going to be becoming a setting of care, whether it be for ambulatory reasons or, you know, the hospital at home type of use case. So let's just jump into remote patient monitoring, right? You could have diabetes. You could be, your provider could prescribe you into a remote monitoring program for diabetes. But are we there to help you manage it, or are we there to help you get rid of it? In my view, that's the big question. We can help you manage it, but so we're addressing the symptom and not the problem, right? So diabetes, if you're obese, like my father, sometimes you have that condition because you're not exercising, you're not dieting. People need other people to lean on when they need help. And so that health coach, that care coordinator, often becomes an educator and a coach role to things that they should be doing. It's so we can monitor that your glucose level is good every day. It doesn't come outside the range. So thumbs up for you. And that's good stuff, right? You're not eating the jelly donuts as often as you used to. That might be a good sign. But are you losing weight? Are you exercising? There are other things that you can do that could help you along, again, that path to wellness. Wellness sometimes means you've gotten rid of that chronic condition and you know how to manage yourself accordingly. I always use the show The Biggest Loser as the exaggerated point of I walk onto the show with a bag of pills because I have diabetes and I have every other condition imaginable. And I walk off the show empty-handed because I learned how to diet. I learned how to exercise and I learned how to manage myself. And they got in a different headspace relative to who they are and what they can achieve. And that's really powerful relative to the ultimate purpose of a delivery of care organization, in my view.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about a healthcare digital transformation journey. Can we talk a little bit about that in terms of, you know, the work that I do within hospitals is supporting hospitals and whether it's a cost innovation, cost savings, process improvement, and those things. And so we're learning to really be innovative in how we utilize virtual care, which I love better, in so many different ways. There's so many aspects you can put that on the patient journey. Can you speak to a little bit of how you see the patient journey and virtual care and the opportunities that exist for hospitals?
Yeah, great question. I appreciate it. And the journey is, we all have to remember that every consumer, every patient is on a different journey. So a health system's ability to be nimble and be able to flex in the context of uniquely supporting each patient relative to their unique journey. Not every person with diabetes, not every person with hypertension is not basically the same. But that said, I talk about three continuums and I try to merge that into a healthcare digital transformation journey. Ultimately, we want to get from an institutional centric care to a health consumer centric care. And the first continuum I talk about actually begins with COVID. And while there was people don't remember, but before COVID, there was a lot of good stuff going on. One of them was transitioning to a value-based care model versus an episodic care model. But at COVID, you know, we had to suddenly think differently as a healthcare system. My doors were locked. I had no access. My patients had no access. So that's how virtual care sprung into action. And it helped solve a lot of problems. It didn't fix every problem. But at the end of the day, health systems had to respond. And then they realized, hey, Mikey likes it. You know, for those that remember that commercial long ago, you know, at the end of the day, the doctors liked it and the patients liked it. So now they're starting to rethink, how do we use this tool to reimagine the delivery of care? It's not virtual care versus brick and mortar care. It's the blending of the two that will help you reimagine. So the provider starts to adopt this virtual care model. And there's, again, based on the need to engage the patient, you could engage them in many different ways, asynchronously through a video engagement. You could have what they refer to as a high acuity encounter. Maybe the patient has a medical device that's integrated with the virtual care platform. And the doctor could be on the other side of the internet while the patient is holding the stethoscope or taking vitals and or the otoscope. So I can stream video, I can stream audio, and I can stream data to that doctor in real time, whether it's me with the medical devices or a nurse that came to my house, one of the two. But that data, I could do a full encounter and I don't have to leave my house. And it's just as much as what happens when you go into a brick and mortar facility. And then it moves up into remote patient monitoring and so forth and so on. Is the question is, how do I maximize the provider in all of its tool sets? How do I maximize my ability to, for my population to be well? What I talk about in the last continuum is really about the patient. If a provider needs to get to value, a patient has to be aligned with that provider on and even understanding that. If you go to I talk about this all the time at the dinner table with friends and family and things of that nature. You ask someone that's not in healthcare whether or not they understand value-based care and they don't even know, right? So the point is that if I don't know as a consumer that a provider is incented on value-based care and I'm not going to respond or I'm not going to react to the awareness that he brought to my attention that I have a chronic condition and do nothing, then the doctor's not going to get the value. So it's got to be a collaboration between the doctor and the patient as to how do we get the wellness? Because we both want to get there and they both benefit from it. But because they're so disconnected sometimes, and the patient, again, is only in front of the doctor 15 hours in a given year, I'm going to go home and I'm only going to go see that doctor in 3 months. Well, what happened in the 3 months? You know, I was talking to someone the other day and they said, it was a doctor actually. And they said, sometimes a person with hypertension will calm themselves before they go to a patient visit so that the blood pressure is normal. But that doesn't reflect what is normally happening in the other 364 days in a given year for that patient, right? So it's a false reading. What, just because you took a vital in front of the doctor once a quarter doesn't mean that that's reflective of the full experience of the patient throughout the year. So that's why, to fill the gap, ultimately, we need these health coaches and these care coordinators to engage with them. And I always think of remote patient monitoring as the, and chronic care management as the way to fill the gap. The other 8,745 hours in a given year, the solution is remote patient monitoring and chronic care management, and hopefully soon to be remote therapeutic monitoring. Those are very powerful tools that can be leveraged to get that patient to wellness in concert with the provider's need to provide value-based care models.
So I love that information because it was just packed with so much. And I want to just also take a step back for a minute, because you would think, because virtual care in blending with care that's either in the hospital or in the physician's office or in another setting, that blending makes a lot of sense. You know, what do you think has been the challenges of real full implementation, or a hospital just saying, we're going to be completely innovative? We want to know every single point of entry where we can bring in virtual care. What do you think the challenges are from a hospital perspective? And then I can give you some of my thoughts as well.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. And it is a challenging one because there's so much noise out there. I think that one of the biggest challenges is breaking through the noise. What is really best for me as a health system versus buying into an incomplete model? Video conferencing services coming through as a virtual care or telehealth platform, right? It's only part of the solution. I still have to piece together other elements that are not integrated with the larger picture. So the challenge here is for health systems to think first about what's the goal and what are the different types of services that we want to provide at the end stage. Let's think 3 years out and then look at all the different pieces so that when you adopt something, you know that that platform can support you long term. You might start small, which you should, and frankly, just to make sure you're getting it right, and expand as you go. I always talk to health systems about the ability to scale across the community. What's that mean? I always look at health systems as the hub of the community in many respects. And that hospital system supports many different entities. They support not only the consumer that comes in for services, but they support the consumer at home. And they support the school. They support employers, correctional institutions, SNFs, you name it, they become the core of that community from a healthcare perspective. So how do I reach out to all those different unique constituents and provide a very unique service for them? So I need to be able to scale across the community and be able to uniquely support the needs of every patient who's on a separate journey, right? So your platform should be inclusive of telehealth, remote patient monitoring, chronic care management. And you might want to start asking, what are you doing in the context of remote therapeutic monitoring, right? And how does this unified virtual care collaborative platform support what you're doing? That those are some of the key questions that I would be asking if I were a health system.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. And I think that some of the challenges we see and that we support our hospitals with is really finding out where those gaps are. You know, are there some challenges where they need to infuse some extra care that virtual care can be put right in? So is that at discharge, right? Or that next day after discharge? It's the really the readmissions and looking at those 30 days and how they could be very disciplined and thoughtful about a virtual care strategy. Are those higher cost patients or populations or the elderly or ways that they can just invest in virtual care for the protection also of, you know, whether it's the elderly or chronic care. And also you mentioned earlier, we do have a shortage and then we have, you know, a COVID crisis. So we have a overburdened system. And I think that that's a challenge to then spend time to figure out some of this virtual care opportunities because there's really no time, but they need to because they don't have the ability to really care for everyone the way they're doing it. So that change management aspect is so important, but I say start small, pick some obvious places and pick some places that aren't so obvious. You know, like you may have your patient satisfaction coordinators, or there could be CNOs or care coordinators or people throughout the system that said, you know what, there's an issue that's repeated that we think if we added a virtual care follow-up, a text message follow-up, our health coach, like you'd said, I actually think that they would get an excitement, they get some wins, and the more wins, you build momentum. And now you really have a full-blown program and marketing. We've got to get these messages out to the community, like you said, and tell the community, you know, use our virtual care platform, give us suggestions. But I think there has to be that community communication as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. The idea of starting small and incremental growth, incremental wins, incremental successes is very important. You don't want to roll out a virtual care platform all in one day. You're just not going to be successful, right? There's just too much to do. What's your program for readmittance? What's your program for reducing ED visits, your diabetes program, your respiratory program? And again, it goes on and on and on. So it involves the entire organization, but it needs to be segmented in its implementation so that you can maximize your success, no doubt.
So we have still a few more minutes left, and I want to go back to diabetes only because it's more from an informational perspective. And those who hear my podcast or hear webinars and videos know that I really like to dispense data and information. So if you don't mind 1 second, Tom, because I feel like this is an area where, you know, we can provide the audience with some really compelling information. And then I want to talk about your work in your organization at GeneMD. And I've got some questions around there. So for my audience, you know, I do think that as hospital leaders, the issue with diabetes is really a problem that we're going to have to solve for many different reasons. And so I think it's the biggest opportunity to think about how you could use virtual care. And it's interesting, you know, the CDC has quite a bit of information around the high cost of diabetes, but the overall economic cost of diabetes rose 60% from 2007 to 2017. There are some simple ways to, even like Tom mentioned, you know, it's not just wellness, but can we make changes? I mean, it's about blood sugar management and it's about getting patients to come in and do things like regular eye exams or foot exams, or detecting early treatment for a diabetic kidney disease. There's a lot of things that we can do on the preventive side, but like Tom said, have the monitoring, have a coach, because this will help reduce emergency visits or those, you know, additional comorbidities, things that complicate the care when patients come into the hospital. So for my audience, I do have, and I'll put this on our website, it's a nice document about diabetes interventions from the CDC. I want to pass it on to everyone. But that being said, can you speak about your work at GeneMed and what your organization, your company does on the virtual care and who you support, Tom?
Sure. I appreciate that question. And if I could just, the diabetes issue, I would employ everyone to engage this topic. I am just so passionate about, there's so much we can do in that particular space if we just took it another mile in the context of a different level of service to our loved ones. So, you know, GeneMD, I am the Chief Growth Officer. And so we are very much involved in virtual care delivery. Actually, GeneMD actually has two sides of its organization. The one side is that we do provide urgent care services through the GeneMD Medical Group. So we understand healthcare because we deliver it. We have 650 providers nationwide. So we understand the urgent care matters within the delivery of care. There's some challenges with that. And I'll be frank and say that we need to do a better job in how do we connect an urgent care service to the overall continuity of care relative to who that primary care physician actually is and the local health systems so that information is more readily available. But that said, GeneMD also provides a full unified virtual care collaboration platform supporting all of what I said earlier, telehealth, asynchronous and synchronous, high acuity encounters, as well as remote patient monitoring services, chronic care management, and we are working on remote therapeutic monitoring. So it's one platform. We have a plethora of medical devices that we support a lot, meaning over 400. However, we typically have supported the best in class. One of our partners, as an example, is AliveCor. They do the EKG within the fingertip, as one example. CMI Healthcare relative to vital captures and respiratory devices in the home, and many more. And then we also integrate with the EHRs. That's the fundamental core of a virtual care platform, all the different services that it can provide. But yet, how do I share this information across the community of care so that we remain in sync? The patient ultimately has the ability to read every health encounter that they have is recorded, and the patient can come back to the iVisit platform and see all their health records. They can see educational content, and they can use that as even a sounding board for some assistance. So when we sell that platform, we typically sell to hospital systems, large and small. We engage self-insured employers, schools, and skilled nursing facilities. So that's really the core audience that we target. And we do so by white labeling our platform. Other than our urgent care services, everything that we do from a platform deployment has been white labeled to the local community. Because as I said earlier, they are the hub of the community. There's no need to inject the GeneMD brand because we want that health system to be the one to shine. And so there's no confusion as to where the services are coming from. So that is kind of GeneMD in a nutshell.
Well, thank you. I just wanted everyone to hear the great work you're doing over at GeneMD. And, it's important for us here at the Healthcare Leadership Experience Show to bring value to our listenership, to our hospitals, and to give them resources to reach out to or tools and they could think about or compare, or maybe, just have a conversation, a call with you. So I appreciate you being on the show. As we wrap up, if you could give our audience maybe one really spectacular area of opportunity for them to kind of infuse telehealth virtual care?
I think the one opportunity that needs to be invested in is the remote patient monitoring side of the equation. Let's engage those patients in their home. Let's take their vitals frequently throughout the month and engage them in a program that moves them on that path to wellness.
So I have to 100% agree. I think that's the most underutilized aspect of virtual care. My mom is on a remote monitoring program, and I just think it's fantastic. And it allows her primary care to see her blood pressure, particularly in her case, but she's also had it for some heart monitoring. But she's gotten calls, she's gotten check-ins, come see me. And it's really has, number one, it's accountability too. Like, okay, somebody's watching, it's accountability, which is good if there's a behavioral component. But two, there's a real great component of watching patients and seeing a trend that as it's about to happen before it goes in a bad direction. I think remote monitoring is something that every hospital should have a program and again, test it out, particularly on discharge. Are there patients that you just want to stay connected to? I think the results, the investment in that program, the results will be just tremendous. So I couldn't agree with you more. Tom, thank you for being on the Healthcare Leadership Experience Show. And I look forward to seeing all the great things you're doing over in GeneMD. So thank you for being here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me and appreciate the opportunity to explore with you.
Hi, this is Leah. You are listening to my mom's podcast, The Healthcare Leadership Experience.
Hi, this is Fernando. If you would like to speak with my mom, just email her.